Again, and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we've got one more special episode for you this year in 2018, and it's good because this is actually the first full song that we've talked about that's not by an Apple artist or by a Beatle performer, really, but we get him in at a timely point because he's been an honorary friend of the show and friend of our Beatle podcast for quite a while here, and especially this year because of the White Album. So that, of course, would be Eric Clapton and his former band Cream and the song Badge, which was what you just heard in a live performance from the Cream reunion. Is that correct? From 2005, Chris?
That's right, from the Royal Albert Hall 2005 performance.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good if you watched it. Real great Eric Clapton with his to early 2000s era bowl haircut, sort of floppy hair.
Yeah.
pretty great.
This has always been a really interesting song to me. And, you know, if you're not a big Cream fan, you may be wondering, why are we talking about this song? Or even,
yeah,
why?
We just ran out of Beatles stuff, guys.
Yeah,
sorry.
No more tunes. The White Album said it all, so we're done. But yeah, it's interesting because this song has a co-writing credit of a very mysterious angel, we might say.
LeAngelo Mysterioso.
Yes, and who was that crazy co-writer with Eric Clapton?
Well, that was one Mr. George Harrison. And LeAngelo Mysterioso is Italian for the mysterious angel. A secret appearance by Beatle Buddy helped the band's last UK top 20 hit.
So it's interesting because it's co-written by Clapton and George. George Harrison does play rhythm guitar on the background of it, which you can hear very audibly. It's unique for having another Beatle connection in possible connection in terms of the lyrics that we'll get to a little bit later. But this has always been a fascinating song and one I've loved. I remember playing it in my high school rock band, The Crowd, in Winnetka, Illinois. I sang lead on this. This was my one tune that I sang on. And I always loved playing this tune. I love the bridge, or the badge, if you will, in the middle of it, which we'll talk about when we get to the musical aspect. But it's a unique tune, and I've always wondered, are you a big fan of Cream, or what do you think of Cream's work?
I'm not a big fan of Cream overall. I think some of their stuff's pretty good, and others of it might be overrated to me. But this song I've always loved, and I think part of the reason I'm just realizing as we listen to it in preparation for this episode is it's got more people playing on it than usual.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also Felix
Pappalardi.
Pappalardi, thank you. on piano, and I love the piano on this.
Yeah.
And he also plays the mellotron on it, so it gives you a little bit more of a unique sound for Cream than the rest of their, almost all of the rest of their songs are just
bluesy power trio.
So right. What about you? Are you a big Cream guy? You like Cream a lot?
Growing up playing, you learned to play guitar and playing in rock bands, you play a bunch of Cream tunes because they're hits. So the band, that high school band I was in, we did Sunshine of Your Love, we did White Room, we did Crossroads. We all loved EC at the time. And
Were you the one who sang the highway to this place?
No, I was not.
The stars never shine. That wasn't you?
That was not me. No, that was someone else in the band. but yeah, there, you know, so we did.
I'm auditioning for If You Reunite, and that guy can't do it.
I like it. Sounds very good. Sounds like Jack Bruce right there. Think about it. We were playing a lot of those tunes right when Clapton was coming back into notoriety with some of his late 80s, early 90s stuff. And of course, you go back and look at Cream. But I think you're right. A lot of those tunes like Sunshine of Your Love and White Room, I think they're overrated now because they've been beaten to death so much with classic rock radio. And
yeah, you're right. It's just more that maybe if I deep dug into the Cream albums, I could find some stuff that I hadn't heard and enjoyed. But just the... your classic rock radio ruins almost everything for you.
Pretty much. Pretty much. True.
I don't know how you feel about it, but it's just sort of like, great.
Yeah.
White Room.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice if they played more than just those few tunes. But this is a tune you don't hear very much, I don't think. At least I don't think I've ever heard it on classic rock radio just randomly.
Well, I will say this.
Oh, yes.
I used to, way back in the day, when I worked at Parkland College, and I had a shift in the mornings, and there were a certain handful of tunes you'd keep in your pocket in case you were coming up against the clock and you only had 2 or 3 minutes to slide a song in there, and this was one of the perfect ones because it's so short.
Yeah.
It only has a running time of 2 minutes and 46 seconds, so you could stick it in there right before the break and still make your national news.
Yeah, wow. And it's a good tune as well to put in there. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, I'll just play Badge and we'll make our Westwood One news or whatever you're trying to hit. Right.
Well, it did have some fame. It was a hit to some extent. It was recorded in October of 68. So this was right during the end sessions of the White Album period, and then was released and hit number 18 in the UK and number 60 in the USA. And so it was a kind of a minor hit, at least top 50 in the UK and top 20 even. So not a huge hit, but did have some airplay. And then it appeared on Cream's last album, which was, I believe, posthumously released, Goodbye Cream. The group had already sort of disbanded and broken up, but it was put on that last album.
Yeah, it seems strange. It seems like they decided to break up, but, let's do this album anyway.
Right.
They even called the album Goodbye. There's a bunch of, pictures of them, waving goodbye, basically. It's
right.
Strange.
Right. It does have some impact on their career and in the late 60s and around this time period. So in terms of the personnel, you already mentioned Felix Pappalardi, who was a producer of earlier Cream albums, and then also George on electric guitar, rhythm guitar. And the reason why you can't call him George, or he wasn't called that, is because of contractual reasons, sort of like why the White Album doesn't say guest Eric Clapton on it for While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Just they couldn't do that with contracts. So you use pseudonyms or you just don't get credited. And then you have Jack Bruce, of course, the great bassist of Cream and vocalist, and Ginger Baker on drums.
Ginger Baker, a angry cuss, by all accounts. There's a good documentary out there, I think, on Netflix. You could probably get it, about Ginger Baker, which you should watch because he's just
sour,
sour,
ornery.
Yeah. So a lot of people talking about how mean he is and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah. So. Badge. So let's get into the words first here a little bit, because that has a story attached to it. But badge, what does that even mean? Does it have a meaning? What are these lyrics about? Kind of odd lyrics.
Well, apparently it's called Badge because someone missaw something written on the chart or whatever they wherever they had written the lyrics or music or whatever, and thought that the word bridge, which was probably sloppily written by one of these drunk people, was badge. So they started, oh, is that badge? Is this called badge? And they're like, yeah, why not? Because it was untitled at the time. The lyrics aren't really, I don't think are really intended even to make that much sense.
No.
But it ends up coming off as, oh, I'm talking about specifics about me and a person. Thinking about the time, the swans we saw in the park or whatever, but it gives you the feeling of like, oh, there's this guy and he's talking, he's conjuring up different memories of his woman that he's having trouble with. So it works.
Yeah.
Now there's a greater story about a few of the lyric where the few of the lyrics might have come from.
Yeah, supposedly when George and Eric were writing the song and kind of working, sitting across from each other and talking about the tune, Ringo just happened to appear and walked in drunk and gave the line about swans living in the park, where the full lyric, and it does work pretty well, I have to say. It says, I told you not to wander around in the dark. I told you about the swans that they live in the park. So it's a nice little couplet there. It doesn't make any sense, but it still has a good charm to it. And yeah, so that's supposedly Ringo's contribution. What do you think of Ringo's lyric? Do you think he should have gotten some credit for the swans that live in the park?
Well, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Lyric, Ringo actually come up with some lyrics. It's like, all right.
Give that man some credit. I know.
Yeah.
So that's supposedly the extra story that goes along with it. Very unusual also just in the form of the song, because it's quite simple. Yeah, you said it's only 2 minutes and 45 seconds or so. Very, basically three verses and then that bridge. And that's about all there is to the form. Musically, I think the most interesting things are that it's in a minor key. And it's got a real kind of darkness to it, which again goes along with a lot of the White Album period, a lot of 68 stuff going on. So it does have kind of a darkness, dark edge to it. The piano is haunting and really, like you said, adds quite a lot.
Yeah, I really like the piano. And I really love the place, and they really make a meal of it when when Cream played it, when every time that Eric Clapton plays it in concert, when they go into that section where it's which is an awesome section.
Yeah,
it's really cool how they get into that.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of that section, does that sound like anything else that might be coming a year later in the Beatles' work? That lick? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All good children. Which part do you think George wrote, and what do you think EC wrote? And that, to me, that sounds much more George-like.
Yeah, you're right. It does.
So yeah, I was thinking more of the Abbey Road sound a year later, that particular lick really sounds familiar. So do you think that sounds, that if you had to pick the first part of the verses are more Clapton-like, and then that bridge is more EC, it's more George?
Yeah, I think you've got something there. I think that's probably how she went. And then, of course, Ringo wrote all of the lyrics.
Yes, clearly.
And was uncredited.
Uncredited, yeah, of course. And another Beatle connection here is that the bridge that we just talked about, Clapton plays through a Leslie speaker. And where have we heard that before? Tomorrow Never Knows for John's voice.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got that kind of rotating, kind of flangey sound on it.
Well, and maybe it ties into the lyrics there, where it's like, don't you notice how the wheel goes round?
Ooh, good connection. Yeah.
So
Yeah, because it's very circular. That whole section just keeps going round and round, and
Yeah, and they those chords keep repeating. Yeah, that's good.
What do you think of the performances themselves, or the parts played by Clapton and Jack Bruce particularly?
I have always thought that this is like real one of their best songs because it's so tight and so well performed. Though I didn't know it probably at the time that George is on it, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I really think the performances all around are dynamite.
Yeah, Jack Bruce is a very different kind of bass player than Paul McCartney is. More virtuosic and really very noodly, plays a lot of notes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Clapton's a very different style of guitarist, and Ginger Baker plays very different drums. So, it's good. It's very very cool to hear George and EC's visions filtered through a different band.
Ginger Baker's amazing on drums. I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing drummer. But he's such a jackass, you know, that it kind of ruins it
Yeah, I
for
know.
everybody. Nobody wants to hang out with them, that's for
No,
sure.
no. No. So, not much else to say, really. The tune is pretty simple. Lyrics don't really make much sense, but you might read some things into them. Music has that darkness and the minor key and the flange effects and the great bridge that's dramatic, and a very good Eric Clapton solo as well,
Yeah.
on that. So,
When
but
we go out, what we're going to do is play the version of that from the, it's a remastered version from the Eric Clapton Life in 12 Bars, original motion picture soundtrack. And once again, if you haven't seen Eric Clapton Life in 12 Bars, as you can imagine, there's a lot about George and a lot about, you know, him stealing George's woman and the whole enchilada.
And
So
remaining friends all through it.
that's
Yeah.
right. Like,
So,
oh well, oh well,
oh well, life
no big
happens.
deal.
Yeah, so.
I once had a friend steal my woman, and we're not really talking anymore. Neither me nor the woman nor the
Oh, you didn't end up
friend
going on
from
tour
years and years
together
ago.
and recording albums and
No.
stuff?
No.
Oh, it's too bad. Wow. So, as usual in our Songs Under the Microscope, we turn it over to Chris, who has a real knack for finding interesting, curious, and unusual often cover songs. So, you found
Yeah.
some cover songs of Badge.
Yeah, and these are th this was a I thought, man, I'm gonna be really grasping at straws with this one. But I'm not. I'm not. It's a bounty of great stuff here. So I'm gonna play four different ones here. The first one is from Robin Ford. Now, Robin
Oh,
Ford is
yes.
an American blues, jazz, and rock guitarist, and he was a member of the LA Express and the Yellow Jackets. Now, the LA Express, you might know, because in 1974, they're a jazz fusion band, LA Express. In 1974, the band supported George Harrison on his American tour.
That's right.
So we almost have, once I read that, I'm like, well, we almost have to play Robin Ford's Badge. So let's hear a little bit of Robin Ford from his album Keep On Running.
Thinking that I might have drove you.
Robin Ford, what did you think, Dave?
Pretty much the same song, just updated. Kind of sounds like it's maybe, I don't know when that was recorded, but I'm guessing late 70s or sometime in early 80s maybe. But it's got more of a sparkly sound. You got the background singer. It sounds good, actually. The voice isn't great, but but the musical background's great.
The next group is the first ever all-female band to release an album on a major label in 1970, and that is the band Fanny.
Who?
Fanny. Oh. So, real historical thing here, and there's a lot of members that went through Fanny, and they released several albums from 70 to 74, so they're pretty active. They're called Fanny Charity Ball, Fanny Hill, Fanny Live, Mother's Pride. So they were, you know, they were like, obviously, like, we're all ladies.
Yeah,
was their hook. But I really think that this cover is great. We're playing a version of this that's a little bit remastered from the first time in a long time, the Reprise recordings. Fanny.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I like how they started with the bridge, starting the tune right out with that lick, and then it's a couple of surprises there with some group woos and kind of accents there, bringing things out right before the bridge. It was really caught me off guard.
Yeah, some woo woos and yap yap.
Yeah, that sounded good. I like it. Works well, sung by them.
Yeah, I might dig into some more Fanny.
Yes,
I kind of like it. Okay, next one is Alpha X. Alpha X is a British producer, Declan Flynn, who has composed music for short films and TV, and has also released several albums of electronic world music. And here's Alpha X from his album Envelope. And this is Badge Alt Perspective Mix.
Ooh.
I told you not to wander around in the dark. I told you about the swans that they live in the park. Then I told you about our kid. Now he's married to Mabel.
So, Chris, what do you think about Alpha X's version?
Yeah, I think I might need to go to the club.
Yeah, yeah.
pop an Alpha X and go.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of colored lights and stuff going on. And
so that's Alpha X. Now, this last group, Dave, you know, what better way to finish the year? A year where Dave spent a lot of times in the Czech Republic.
Correct.
With a Czech cover of Badge from a group called The Rebels. How about that, Dave?
That's awesome. I've never heard of this or the group. So, yeah. Wow, that's very cool.
Now, Dave, I sent you an email. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to help me with the title.
Yes.
And with the members, three members of the group.
Okay. So the title, which is interesting because it's one word in English, badge. So it must mean something else here I have to look up. Mohla Tobit Laska.
Yeah.
And it looks like you also sent me the members of the Rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got... these are their last names, it looks like. Here we've got Yurachka, Korn, and Kasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Rebels, and here...
Oh, I can't wait for this.
A cover version from Rebels 1999, the great album Rebels 1999, which you'll be looking for next time you go back to the Czech Republic.
Next year I'll be heading over there and I'll get some Rebels.
And here is, once again, say the title of the song.
Mohla Tobit Laska. Incredible. I love it. What a terrific way to close off this year here. This is hearing it in Czech. Oh, it sounds great. You said that the picture of the group, they look particularly scowly and kind of like punk-like.
They're pretty cool guys. I know that.
The Rebels. So,
especially Korn.
Awesome. So Mohla Tobit Laska.
It takes you back home, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I want to go back now. Yes. Wow, some excellent covers here. So it's worthy of all these covers, I think, because it is a great tune and good catchy music and kind of odd lyrics that are still also catchy in some way. And that great bridge that I'm just guessing is a George contribution. It sounds more like George, but yeah, I don't think George ever played this one. I guess it's not really his, but he and Eric could have played it on their Japanese tour. That would have been fun.
Yeah. I know Eric plays it when he plays live a lot, so that's good. Good that it's still being heard and still, you know, when is AC going to go on tour here behind his Christmas album?
Well, we were enticed by that little snippet at the end of last episode on White Christmas there. So mm-hmm. I hope we've all had a chance to listen to EC's Happy Christmas. All right. Well, very good. So we'll call it a year, official year, with this episode, and go out as usual by playing the full Cream version, so you can hear all these things put together. And yeah, anything else you want to say before we head out?
Just that we've got to hit the station ID and the national news in 3 minutes, so it's a perfect time to play this.
That's great, and we'll see you next year.
Told you not to want